Joshua begins with now, therefore, which means in light of all that God has done, everything that has been collected in your life, if you are here today and you are a Bible-believing, Jesus-surrendered Christian, God has done something good in your life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Right? So you have a reflection of everything that he has done in your life, and you're here today because of it. He just recounted the entire history. From Abraham to Egypt, from the wilderness to victory, God proved himself faithful. And I promise you, the Lord will prove himself faithful in your life as well. And you don't arrive to this kind of declaration without remembering where you've come from. So everybody, just take a second. Think back to the day that you gave your life to Christ. Who were you before that? I was dirty and filthy. I was terrible. And we won't go into details. We don't need to lay it out and see who was the most terrible. Listen, sin is sin is sin is sin. I heard this quote this week. I don't know where it fits in, but I'm going to share it. Sin feels like freedom until you try to get out of it. Sin is freedom, feels like freedom until you try to get out of it. We simply cannot move forward until you acknowledge the hand of God and how you got here today. How did you get here? What have you gone through? And you can't say, as for me and my house, if you haven't taken time to look back and then also say, God is good. God has been so good. So we can't arrive to one without acknowledging the other. 1 Samuel 12:24. It says, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things that he has done for you. Faithfulness deserves faithfulness. Faithfulness deserves faithfulness. So if God has been faithful, and your only right response is to be faithful in return. If he has been faithful, our response is to be faithful. Then here's the next challenge. It's not about remembering what God has done. It's about removing everything that competes with him. It's removing the competition from your life that would compete with him. And that brings us to the second truth this morning. Get your pens ready. That we see here in the scripture with Joshua. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. See, Joshua gives the people a choice. And frankly, it's not a lighthearted one. It carries some heavy weight with it. He says you can't hold on to the idols and serve God at the same time. You can't have the idols of your fathers and still serve the Lord. You can't straddle the fence and call it faith. It was funny, I was talking to Tom this morning because Tom served in the military and what his point was. Tom, this is not at all why I'm calling on your name today. That's not what we talked about earlier. But it just made me think. He talked about in Antarctica, they got 36 inches of snow once. The way they got around base was walking on the, what is it called? Split rail fence. They literally walked on top of the fence because the snow was so deep. And then when they got to where they were going, they'd hop off and they'd have to, you know, make their way through the snow. What I want to say here is if you can't straddle the fence and call it faith. You can't be on the fence and say you're being faithful. Joshua goes on and he tells them, even if you think serving God isn't right, if you think serving God isn't right, at least make a decision on who you are going to serve. Now that's heavy. Because if we go back and we look at this, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. It is time to draw the line in the sand, church. This isn't just about who you serve. It's also about how to serve and how you serve. Half-hearted loyalty isn't loyalty at all. Half-hearted loyalty isn't loyalty at all. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Disloyalty, divided loyalty, is disloyalty. Divided loyalty is disloyalty. Now, impactful enough, Joshua could have stopped right there. That's a lot of truth, and that's a lot of hard things to walk through. He could have just challenged the people with those two things and moved on. But instead, this is how we get to our third point. He models what it looks like to make it personal. He models what it is to be personal with it. He doesn't just talk about the nation. He talks about his household. He says, as for me and my house, not for me, as for me and Israel, as for me and my house. He doesn't just talk in ways that brings everybody under the umbrella. I can't say as for me and engaged church. Now I hope that we'll all say the same thing when we arrive to as for me, and we say it all in unison, as for me and engaged church, right? We want all of that to be. But it's talking about the household. Because real faith, guess what? It doesn't begin on the battlefield. Guess where it begins? At the dinner table. At the dinner table in your home is where faith begins. Faith must start at home. Joshua didn't just speak as a national leader. He speaks as the leader of his home. And this isn't just a personal statement. It's a family one. So I could be up here as pastor, and everybody's going to expect pastor to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Strip the title of pastor. My name's Mike. Hi, nice to meet you. Guess what? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There is no other option. I would have been a home that didn't serve the Lord. It's amazing that I stand before you today, and I don't ever want my children to go through what I have had to walk through in life to get to where I am today. And because of that, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And are you willing to make that same declaration today? Are you willing to let everything else go behind you and say, this moment right now, we are making a family statement? It's easy to make statements, though. It's so easy to make statements. We have to follow up with it. This morning in Sunday school, we were just talking about how with temptation, but what helps feed into temptation. And the correlation there is Joshua wasn't waiting on culture to choose for him what's right. He wasn't waiting on culture to agree with his opinion and then say, oh, I suppose I can do this. No, what Joshua is doing, he is setting the tone for his household. He is drawing a hard line in the sand. He said, this is and will be what we are doing. And what happens in your home? Listen, parents, grandparents, kids, guess what? Kids, it applies to you as well. What happens in your home matters just as much as what happens in the church building. If you want your kids to follow Jesus, parents, they need to see you follow Jesus. Grandparents, if you want your grandchildren to follow Jesus, your house better emulate what mom and dad's house emulates. Because we want them to follow Jesus. They need to see how you follow him. If you want your marriage to be rooted in Christ, guess what? Christ has to be the cornerstone of your marriage. Not just on Sundays. It's easy to get dressed up and come to church and act like they love each other and nothing's wrong. But 10 minutes earlier, I was offended because she said this about me. Literally, listen, my wife, before we were married, let me come to church with plaid shorts and a striped shirt.
before we were married is the key there. I wasn't with you when you were getting dressed.
There's no forgiveness in my
picture, please.
But if you want your marriage to be rooted in Christ, he has to be the cornerstone. How do you make him the cornerstone? You better be praying with your spouse every night before you go to bed. Maybe it's in the morning when you first get up. Maybe you don't know how to pray. Guess what? You get better by practicing. Sometimes it's holding hands and saying, Lord, we don't know what to say, but I know that I need you. I know that she needs you, and we need you to make our marriage work. That's called surrender, isn't it? Lord, we need you. And maybe that's all the prayer is. But guess what it does? It starts to create that space for him to become the cornerstone in your marriage. He becomes the standard. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 7, it says, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. How many of you talk of the Lord every breath, in every moment, every day of his goodness in your life? I can't even raise my hand because there's times that I grumble. Ask Rochelle. But we need to speak of who the Lord is in our life every single day and every moment that we can. If faith doesn't live at home, guess what? It won't live at all. If faith doesn't live at home, if you don't have a standard in your house, guess what? Create the standard today. If faith doesn't live at home, it won't live at all. Joshua doesn't leave the people in suspense. He made the decision public. He said it out loud. He planted his flag in the ground. And now the question comes to what you and I are going to do. What are we going to do? What is your house known for? What is your house known for? Not just what you believe in your heart, but what you lead in your home and how you lead in your home. If you had to design a crest for your family, what exactly would it say? And as you think about that answer, I'm going to say this, because whether you realize it or not, you're already preaching something about the way you live. What are you preaching? What are you preaching to those in your household? What are you preaching to those that you work with? What are you preaching to your friend group? Every house is known for something. Some homes are known for chasing success. Others are known for drama, for stress, for silence. And some are known for just going through the motions every day. Some are known by deep hurt. Homes marked by abusive parents or abusive spouses. Some are known by the weight of addiction, such as alcoholism. But Joshua makes it clear what his house would be known for. Not perfection, not comfort, but service to the Lord. And I think that's the question that ultimately we need to wrestle with today. Is what is your house known for? Who knows that you can't control what your neighbor does? Although we might like to, we can't control what our neighbor does. You can't control what your grown kids choose later. You can't control what culture says is normal, and that's a moving scale every day. But like what Joshua says, he says, as for me and my house. See, you can make that decision right now to draw that line. You can make that decision that the kind of atmosphere your home will carry will be one that glorifies the Lord. You can plant the banner. You can draw a line in the sand and you can say, this is who we are. This is what we stand for, and this is who we will serve. So if I can I get real for a moment? let me get real for a moment. What needs to change in your house? What needs to change in your home? What patterns have crept in that has stolen your focus from God? What has snuck into your life that is taking your focus off of the Lord? What rhythm do you need to start? What rhythm do you need to put into place so you can get into a habit? Maybe it is praying together. Maybe it's just praying with your spouse. Maybe it's praying with your kids. But let's normalize talking about the Lord. Can't it be normal to talk about the Lord? Or maybe it's we need to bring our family back to center and refocus. Because we need to draw that line in the sand. Maybe for some of you, it's going to start leading your home with more intentionality. Guilty. It's tough. You just assume they're going to get it. And then there's days they're like, they get it. And then there's days like, no, they won't get it. Right? Maybe it starts with leading your home with more intentionality. Maybe for others, it means you're going to have a hard conversation after service today. Maybe it's turning off some distractions that have come into your life. Maybe it's just saying these words out loud. This is who we are. We will serve the Lord. And if you've been carrying any kind of regret, I need you to hear this. Ready? All ears open. If you've been carrying any kind of regret, here's what you need to understand today. You can't go back and change the past. We can't change it. We can't fix it. But here's what we can do. You can decide today who you'll be from this point forward. Who am I going to be from today on? So, if you make that decision today, you say, this is who we are. You can walk out of here today with a new mindset. You can walk out of here today with a new banner that's over your house that declares, this house serves the Lord. And I don't think there's a better banner that you could be flying over your home. Because when your house serves the Lord, guess what? Your faith doesn't stay private. You know, your faith was never meant to be private. It spills out into how you love your neighbors, how you raise your kids, how you carry yourself at work, and how you show up in this town, even, or the town that you represent here today. And church, ultimately, that's how we live out our mission. Engaging our community for Jesus, guess what? Starts within our own homes. Period. So this morning, there's a decision that has to be made. What do we decide? If you would you stand to your feet with me this morning? Stand to your feet, bow your head, close your eyes. This is a moment of reflection and prayer. Joshua stood in front of the people, all of Israel, and he said, choose this day whom you will serve. That wasn't just for them. But it's a call for us today as well. Some of you have believed in God. Some of you have faith in the Lord. But you have never made the choice to truly follow after Jesus. Some of you have wandered. And today, the Lord is telling you it's time to come home. See, Jesus already chose you. He went to the cross. He took your place. And he rose again so you could live. But the choice is yours. The choice is for you to make. You don't have to clean yourself up first. So if you're sitting here thinking, I am so bad, I need to go get this right before. Listen, you don't have to. The Lord says, come. You don't have to fix your past. You just have to respond. Romans 10:9 tells us very clearly that you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you are ready to stop standing on the fence, if you are ready to surrender, today is your day. If that is you, would you raise your hand right where you're at this morning? Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Nobody's watching. Only me. Is there anybody else? Praise the Lord. Let's pray together.
Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Please forgive me. Make me new. Lead me every day. I confess that you are Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised from the dead. Be with me now. Help me to declare that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. There was two brothers and sisters in here today who said, I need to get right. If you don't have a Bible, you need to let me know. I have a Bible that I would like to give you today before you leave. If you have not told somebody, you need to tell somebody. Before you walk out of these doors today, you need to look them square in the eye and say, I declare that my house will serve the Lord. Declare it, share it with somebody. And let me just challenge you with this. We don't normally do this, but this is really where I felt the Lord was leading. Let me encourage you to respond. It's not to put a spotlight on you, but it's to celebrate with you. If you just made that decision to surrender your life to Jesus, can I invite you to come to the altar? You have to make the decision yourself. Would you come to the altar? Don't wait. Don't wonder if the time is right. Just move. Let today be the day that your life changes forever. And then for every other believer here in the room, for every family, for every single parent, for every student, every couple, every grandparent, you heard the same challenge that Joshua gave to Israel. You have heard the word, and now it's your time to respond to the word. Maybe your house has been divided. Maybe your faith has stayed quiet at home. Maybe your loyalty has slipped. Or maybe you just need to draw that line in the sand today and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The altar is open. Come this morning, stake your banner. Come stand for your home. Come stand for your kids, your family, your spouse. Come let God do something new in you and through you. Church, as we wrap up this series, I want this to be more than a message. I want it to be a moment that defines your life forevermore. Amen? Let's respond to the Lord this morning.